Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 10 a.m. during the summer months. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 16. In today's sermon titled The Smackdown, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is our tendency to misuse the gifts that God has given to us and then blame others for the things that are broken in our lives. We need to recognize our own failings and ask God for forgiveness in addition to passing along grace to those that anger us in order to build up God's kingdom here on earth.
Please be seated. As we come into God's presence this morning, we come as an imperfect people, seeking to stand in relationship to that which is going to make us stronger and better and more gracious. The truth of our lives is that we are, as a people, created free, free to respond to God's grace in any number of ways, and free to interact with our neighbor, either manifesting that grace or instead choosing to use our freedom as a way to oppress. Each of us, in our own way, will use our freedom and use it wrongly. So now, let's admit that. Let's admit that we have taken the gifts that God has given us and sometimes misused them. Let's do that through the prayer of confession as it's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. Gracious and sovereign Lord, our world is full of broken things, broken relationships, broken hearts, broken ways of living. In the face of all that mess, our tendency is to tear down those we see as the cause of it all. It's reflexive. It's the way we deal with things. And yet when we don't pass along grace, when we choose to focus on that speck in our neighbor's eye, we don't contribute to the building up of your kingdom. For missing the point, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ's name, forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Christ,
who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. I'll be reading Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Paul writes, "My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time, if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. For some reason this week, I find myself thinking about freedom. Because Paul's letter to the Church of Galatia is all about freedom, strangely enough. On this week, we celebrate freedom in this country, and freedom itself is a peculiar thing. Independence Day, as my family celebrates it, is that celebration of our American right to do just about anything that we choose to do. And my family pretty much always chooses to do exactly the same thing on Independence Day. We did exactly that this year. We meet up with my parents, shovel everyone into the minivan, and then we go to a particular parking lot where we park in pretty much exactly the same spot, a nice distance away from where fireworks will happen, just so we don't get stuck in that inevitable mob of Northern Virginians trying to leave. And then we walk. We carry flashlights and chairs and bug spray, and we work our way through neighborhoods that I've worked my way through since I was a kid, since I grew up. We cross a road, we cross another, and we pass our way by old stomping grounds, the restaurant that used to be a Hardee's before it was a Roy Rogers, and then before that it was a Geno's or something like that. And across the street from that is George Mason High School in Falls Church, and that's where the big annual nearest fireworks display is. We go there, and then we go through the gates we always go through, and we always angle just a little bit to the right. We go down this hill. We plop ourselves in a little row of chairs on a hillside by the fence. Has to be on a hillside because that means we're up just a little bit so that if people sit in front of us and they're too tall, we'll still see the fireworks just fine. And then we wait, and because it's July and because it's Virginia, we wait and we sweat, and we wait some more, and then someone has to go to the bathroom, and then someone wants to get water, and we do those things until the first star starts to brighten in the sky, and then music becomes the national anthem, and we rise and we sing it, and then the fireworks start. And we ooh and we ah, and as the show goes on, we always speculate, is that last salvo that we see launching up, is that going to be the finale? No, it's not. Is this going to be the finale? No, it's not, not yet, until light and fire finally fill the entire field of our vision, because we sit in close on that hillside. You're not watching it far away, you're watching it so that the only thing that you see is splashing color and your ears are full of thunder. Every year it's like that, and every year we walk back to the van on darkened roads as people sit and honk at each other in traffic because they don't know that exact spot where you need to park so you can get out easily. And every year as we walk to that place, we marvel at the trees, which in the darkness are filled with thousands of fireflies, poplar trees lit up with gentle, living, golden Christmas lights. And we say, wow, I haven't seen that before, even though every year we did. We use our freedom on that day to live into that particular pattern of existence, year after year. But I know as my boys get older that it's not always going to be like that. And as my parents get older, it's not always going to be like that either. I want to be able to use my freedom and sustain that way of being. But sometimes things don't let us do that. Some years people sit in our spot. Some years it has rained. There is going to be a year when a teenage son would really rather be off talking with those girls he knows and not with us. People use their freedoms in ways that don't always mesh. Life doesn't always affirm us in exactly who we want to be, and that gnaws. I want to do this thing. I want to do it exactly the way I have done it. It's one of the pesky things about being creatures made at liberty, because though we are made free, and our liberty is a joy and it is a gift from God, it also, in a paradoxical way, becomes the ground on which and through which we come into tension and conflict with one another. And here I'm not talking about the countless petty ways we bump into each other over the course of a week. I'm not talking about that ability to feel annoyance and umbrage that happens when a culture is relentlessly self-absorbed. This is not about the person who cuts you off in traffic, or the person who leaves a catty remark on your blog anonymously, or the individual who makes sure they let you know just how foolish, stupid, and unwise your support of your particular sports team, or your political party, or your favorite flavor of ice cream is. I don't know how many folks out there would have much negative to say about Ben & Jerry's New York Super Fudge Chunk Chip, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere. This isn't about those things. This is about the deeper stuff, the things that make it challenging for communities and people to stand together. Because where freedoms collide, and they do, trusts can be broken, or falsehoods can be uttered, or you can feel trampled, blocked. How do you stand in community in that place? I found myself this week thinking about freedom and fireworks as I watched Egypt. Those pictures right before the 4th of July, of a square filled with people, of the air filled with fireworks, and the day before we in this country were going to do exactly the same thing. Only there the fireworks were celebration over a group that was eager to present its power over another, not celebrating liberty to live at peace with one another, but as a challenge. Here we are celebrating that we are both free to express ourselves and stronger than you. It was paradoxical. It was awkward to see this display that was both celebratory and all about power on the very day before we would do much the same thing. Peculiar. Our celebration is usually a time of community togetherness and restoration. Here, something different. Something far away from God's intent of our freedom, that it's a way that we celebrate each other and a way that we strengthen each other and come to reconcile and support each other even in the face of difference. And that, frankly, was front and center for the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Galatia, where questions of freedom and the law were at the heart of something that was tearing that community apart. Paul, who'd worked assiduously, worked carefully to build up the faith in this community, found himself locked into an intense disagreement with a group of early Christians who did not perceive the Christian walk in the same way that he did. He found himself in an encounter with a group that felt it could only be one thing, one particular, complex, series of legal structures. This group of folks who approached the Galatians argued that what mattered if you were going to follow Jesus was carefully obeying each and every one of the 613 commandments of Torah. Then and only then could you say you were right with God. Then and only then could you say that you were a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. They took that sense of themselves, something that Paul did not reject. As he says, circumcision, uncircumcision, they're the same. What matters was grace. And he said, well, it's okay to focus on the law, but if you focus on it so intently that it becomes the thing that defines who you are, it becomes something that defines your power over other people, then you're not getting the essence of what Jesus taught. The goal of Christian community is to use liberty in a way that doesn't damage another, to use liberty in a way that restores and reconciles. And wherever people get together, they're gonna bump off one another. When that happens, the focus has to be restoration. Restore in a spirit of gentleness, counseled Paul. And that word he's using, restoration, gets used in a couple other places in Scripture, and it tends to mean mending, healing, knitting back together. You read back in Mark's gospel, that same term is used to describe what the disciples are doing when they are sitting around mending their nets before Jesus comes. It's about healing, making whole. That's how we are meant to use our liberty, and we forget that. We forget that that's the purpose of our freedom. As I meditated on this passage this week, I found that it echoed strongly with both the strange things, the hard things that we're seeing in Egypt, but also with another story about a face that's been in front of us recently. On the other side of our little planet, former South African President Nelson Mandela is on life support. He's lived 94 very productive but also immensely hard years. And after a long life, his mortal frame is failing. If there's anyone on the planet who better manifests the ethic of finding a path to reconciliation, I'm not sure who that is. Mandela was part of the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, and it was a hard struggle. And we think about conflict and struggle and disagreement here in the context of our politics and our culture. Here is a leader who spent 27 years in a South African prison. He was in prison from 1962 to 1990. And this is not a luxuriant place to spend time. And at 94 years, 27 years of your life, when you aren't free, that's still a huge portion of existence. And for him, it was a long, long time in which he learned to appreciate the value and focus of human freedom. Because apartheid was finally overcome. And Mandela was brought to power in free and fair elections in 1994. And if you've watched the world and watched as power shifts from one group to another, you know the tendency is for there to be retribution against those who offended, or in this case, against those who had committed significant atrocities. We watch that pattern happen of recrimination and retribution. It's etched in blood across all of the world's conflicts, and the conflict over apartheid was as deep as it gets. But the path South Africa under Mandela took was different. He did not focus on revenge. He did not focus on setting things exactly right now that power and the law was in his hands. Mandela had looked out at the world as that had happened and realized you could not be that way. That would not bring healing. And so instead, much of what happened after 1994 was driven by people like Bishop Desmond Tutu, who, along with Mandela, formed what they called Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, the purpose of which was justice, but restoration, to reestablish connection, to reestablish relationship, where people who had committed acts of very significant violence, former jailers, people who had terrorized whole communities, were given the opportunity to come forward, be truthful, and then together with the new way that South Africa was being run, to set themselves towards a shared and better future. That helped end the brokenness that had plagued that nation. Mandela made that the primary focus of his leadership, formed and shaped by Christian faith and Christian communities. And that decision would have resonated strongly with Paul as he taught, how do we live together creatively, freely, but truly in a community where restoration and healing are the focus of what we do. Paul lays out some of the basic principles for how that works for the Galatians, not just the ones who agreed with him, but also those with whom he stood in real tension. Paul told the Galatians, how do you do this? You do it with a spirit of gentleness and a spirit of humility. The task towards another, as he teaches it in this passage, is not to say, you will now be this, you will now be that, you will do as I say. The task is to be gentle, to be gracious, to, as Paul puts it, to bear that other's burdens, to show that your interest is mutual. Not to impose yourself, but to make yourself a support, an assistance. And as for yourself, as for your own desires, as for your own liberty, Paul says, test yourself. You are responsible for your own actions. Test and challenge yourself against the grace that I have taught you. And he also offers up a challenge. He says, take care that you yourselves are not tempted. When you're struggling with someone, when there's been a brokenness, don't be tempted. And he doesn't say anything more. It is unclear exactly what that means, but there's a whole letter to read. And in the previous chapter, there's some context. Paul lays out what it means to be broken, what it means to be fallen. He spins out this long list of possible ways that we can be tempted. And some of them generally were not. I mean, if we get into an argument with someone, typically we don't become idolaters. And generally, we don't engage in sorcery, although, you know, you might have a little voodoo doll. Yeah, put a little. We don't tend to do that. But given that what he is talking about is conflict, a huge portion of this list of here are ways that when you are in tension, you can be broken and fall away from grace. He gives a list of things. He says, don't fall into enmities. Don't fall into strife. Don't fall into jealousy. Don't be angry. Don't quarrel. Don't get into dissensions or factions. Don't be envious. He lays out this whole list of ways that in conflict, we can become drawn away from that place of mutual grace and reconciliation that is our purpose, and get drawn instead into separation and brokenness and strife. Mandela, who might make it to his 95th birthday, knew that that was how he needed to live. each of us as we live out our freedom in community together, also need to embrace that truth of grace, seeking to use our freedom to build each other up, taking care that we test ourselves and our responses and reactions so that we are a strength to community, and living into that grace that is what we were created for, as free beings blessed with a free country. Live into that blessing. Let it be so, for you and for me. Amen. We're going to go out into this world, this place, as free people. We are blessed with that liberty to act as we want. It's a wonderful thing, and it's worth celebrating. But as we express our freedom into the world, as we express the gift that we have been given, remember how Paul tells us to use it. Use it always to build up. Use it always to support. Use it with humility. Use it with grace. Because if we live into our freedom that way, we make it a blessing to everyone around us. That is how we are meant to live. It's what we were made for. It's what Christ taught. Let's go out and ensure and celebrate our lives as free, gracious people. That's our calling. Let's live it out. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, for today and for tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.